I mentioned this morning that my lesson tonight was kind of picking up where the one left off this morning with the idea of doing good works. And one of the things we found out in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning is that we're not justified by works only. And I posed the question then, I said, well, you know, if good works does not lead to salvation, why do we want them at all? You know, why don't we just forget about good works? Well, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were made for good works. We were converted, each one of us. We were converted to Christ. We were baptized. We entered his body. And one of the things that we entered it for was to be prepared for good works. What are good works anyway? You know, we're always talking in sermons and in Bible classes and one thing about good works, you know. I think that good works are anything that you do that helps someone or that builds up the body of Christ. Something that adds to the kingdom of God is good works. Not only in our eyes, but also in God's eyes. So I want to talk for just a little bit tonight, just what does the New Testament and the Bible have to say about the importance of good works. Martin Luther once said that the masses reacted to a religious doctrine much as a drunk German peasant trying to ride a horse. He first falls off one side and then the other. Through the centuries, religious error has been associated with the idea of good works. There are many that have formulated an entire doctrine around the idea of salvation by good works and went out and taught that doctrine and preached that doctrine and converted people to that religion because of that idea. Some develop explicit doctrine of salvation by works. Others reacted in holy horror to that. But they actually went a little bit too far then, falling off the other side of the horse. And so we can see what we're doing there. But the idea of works has always been, it's always been an issue in religious doctrine that has separated many congregations. It has separated many denominations, and one thing and another is actually, what do we do about good works? That's what I want to talk about for just a little bit this evening, to see what we may learn from God's word about good works in the Christian, the one that is in the body of Christ, the one that was converted to do good works. And the first thing I want us to see is that one is not saved because of good works. And the Bible is clear about this. It tells us that we're not. On this point, Scripture's emphatic. It's explicit. If a man were saved because of his works, then he could boast before God. He could pray to God and say, look what I've done. But we can't do that. We can't do that. No one can boast. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul writes there, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. We cannot boast before God about what we have done. And one of the reasons for this is we need to think about what God has done in showing his great grace and sending his Son that we might have the hope of salvation, the hope of a home in heaven someday. If I ever think that I've outgiven God, then I have a serious soul problem, do I not? If any one of us ever thinks, you know, when you start thinking, I've given enough of my time, my money, and everything else, when we start thinking that we've given enough, we need to go back and review what God has done and what his Son Jesus Christ has done. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, he goes on, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. imputes righteousness apart from works. Salvation is therefore not of works, but of grace. We studied that this morning from Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9, he said, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In teaching preachers, Paul reminds them to tell their hearers, to tell their listeners, that they are not going to go to heaven purely by doing good works. That we have other things we must do. We have other things that we must think about and plan for. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul writes, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He goes back and recalls the plan of salvation that was conceived in the heart and the mind of God before the creation of the earth even. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul writes, again, to one of his preachers, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what ultimately saved us, is our obedience through faith to what Jesus has done for us. The fact that he became the last sacrifice, the last blood sacrifice for sin. There needs to be no more. He paid the ultimate price that we might have the hope of forgiveness of our sins, and through that hope, a home in heaven someday. We need never to fear to proclaim anything that is clearly outlined in Scripture, anything that we find there, including this great truth. The Bible itself safeguards itself against opposite errors or those kinds of things. We need not fail to unashamedly declare God's Word and declare God's Word in its totality. Number two, yet Christians are absolutely expected to work. Now, our first bullet item there was, we are not saved by doing good works. Yet, Christians are absolutely expected to work. We're expected to do good work in the kingdom. Christians are created in Christ for the purpose of good works. And this is how Paul ended that section of that Ephesian letter this morning in chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. This goes back again. I always like to point this out. It says, in Christ Jesus. In Christ. We are in Christ when we're baptized into him. We're baptized into him, added to his church. And that's when we began to live the Christian life for him. But it says that we were created in Christ Jesus. That's at baptism. We are created in Christ Jesus. We weren't created before then. We were born before then. We lived before then. But we weren't created in Christ Jesus before then. But he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Special ministers in the church. Going to Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 11, and he gave some to be pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, and some preachers. For what? He says, for the equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So he has sent teachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He has created those like me, like John, like others that you've sat at the feet of throughout your life. He's created those to teach us about good works and to prepare us for the work of the ministry, which includes doing good works and for edifying or building up the body of Christ, which is also good works. James reminds his Christian readers that their profession of faith is inadequate without accompanying good works. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, I want to just read this scripture. And starting in verse 14, he writes, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So the New Testament here attributes the fact and urges us to the fact that we must have good works, although works are not everything, just like faith is not everything. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul writes to Titus, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So, you know, we see that's the way that we were saved was the washing of Him. We are expected to do good works. Paul instructs Timothy and Titus to emphasize to their hearers the importance and the necessity of good works by all Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, he's talking about the dress and the decorum of Christian women. He said, "Which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." And in chapter 5 and verse 10, he writes, "Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has received the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work." In verse 6, or chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, ready, willing to share." Titus 2 and verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for what? Good works." So while works do not save us, it's a requirement of Christians to do good works, to help others, to build up the kingdom. In chapter 3 and verse 1 of Titus, he writes there, "Remind them to be subject," and this is instruction to preachers again. Titus was a preacher. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authority, to obey, to be ready for every good work. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." Number 3, God will judge and reward according to good works. Remember, the title of this lesson is The Importance of Good Works. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us to do good works? This is stated more than once in the Scriptures. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Who will render to each one according to his deeds?" Deeds or works, according to his works. He's talking of the righteous judgment of God there. In the previous verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, he writes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be constant, I can't quote the scripture right there. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, seeing that your labors are not in vain in the Lord." That's the scripture that I was. Sometimes it just escapes me for a minute right there. But he says there that we need to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just doing a little bit, but doing a lot. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the writer of the Hebrew letter said, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." You know, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, I use this in funerals quite often, and as recent as yesterday, I used it. But John writes by inspiration there, he said, "Blessed, happy are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors and their works will follow them." So good works follow us right on into the grave, and good works follow us right to judgment day when the Lord comes back again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we already looked at that. Most of the passages listed above, though, are occasions of encouragement to believers to persevere in well-doing in view of God's knowledge of future reward. This is a joyful and a positive proclamation. We should be impressed by the teaching here given and the frequency with which scripture writers write about it and always mention it. Number four, good works are meaningful in the light of all other doctrines. For John the Baptist, they were proof of repentance. If you'll remember, John's baptism was baptism unto repentance. Christ had not come yet. Church was not established yet. Wouldn't be established for three decades yet. But Jesus, or two decades yet. But Jesus, John came preaching repentance. In other words, he was saying, it's time to stop your sin. It's time to stop your sin. And his baptism was an affirmation of the fact that you had decided to stop your sin, that you had decided to repent. And his baptism was an affirmation of that fact. God will judge and reward according to good works. We need to be impressed by the teaching here given and the frequency with which scripture writers mention it. For Jesus, they will be a standard of judgment, our good works. In James chapter 2, in verse 14 through 26, we read that just a few moments ago. For Paul, they are a proper response to divine mercies. To do good works in return for what God has done for us and what he continues to do for us. God supports us daily. He supports this earth daily. We talked about that last week, and all that God does for us in a physical nature, in that he made the animals for us to have meat to eat. He made the earth to grow vegetation. He sends the sunshine. He sends the rain in order that we might be able to grow food in order to eat and establish ourselves and sustain ourselves. So God continues to maintain us on this planet. And I might add, he maintains us and takes care of us in a spectacular manner. He really does that. Number four, good works are meaningful in the light of all other doctrines. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Also for Paul, they are a result of the right kind of teaching. To be active in good works is to sow to the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, that if we're led by the flesh, if we sow to the flesh, then we'll be led by the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, then we'll be led by the Spirit. But doing good is to be part of this new creation that we are when we come up out of the waters of baptism. And that's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Doing good works is a part of that creation. Number five, good works are the test of Christian character. That they are the mark of true beauty in a Christian. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Paul writes to the young man at that time, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And they are the test of true religion, doing good works. As I read from James just a little while ago, you know, when you see someone who is naked and destitute of food, and you say to them, go forth, be warmed and filled. And we do that sometimes. You know, we see somebody that is in a desperate need. Maybe they're in a desperate need for money because they need to get their electric bill paid so that they'll have cooling or heat or lights or something like that. And we hear them pouring out their heart to us, and we just say, well, I'll be praying for you. That doesn't help their situation at all. He's saying, if we just say, go your way and be warmed and filled, what did that profit? That didn't help them at all. If we don't, he says, if we don't give them what is required for the body, then we haven't helped them. We haven't helped them at all. They're a test of true religion. They're also a means to true riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, Paul writes, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, for they be rich in good works, ready to give, ready to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. He says there that when we do good works to others, when we help others, we build up the body of Christ, but we also store up treasures for ourselves for the future. In other words, these things are credited to us when we do good works. Number six is we need to make preparation to do good works. The Word of God equips one to do these good works. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, the apostle writes, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And in James chapter 1 and verse 25, and you'll remember, this is that passage of Scripture where he talks about the hearer of the not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And he says at the end, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Purging ourselves of evil, it all prepares one for good works as well. In 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Regular and constant exhortation also prepares us for good works. We should be in the assemblies of the church. We should listen to this exhortation. It comes from Bible school teachers. It comes from preachers. The exhortation to do good works in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Hebrew writer writes, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And you know the next verse says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but in the manner of some is, that we see that so much the more as we see the day approaching." Do you say that you belong to Christ, that you believe in him, and that you're living for him every day of your life? Ask yourselves then, do I do good works? I believe that everyone I see tonight does. I believe that you are involved in doing good works. As I look around this room, I know that some of you, and I know what you've done, that were good works, that helped someone, and that built up the body of Christ. And that's what good works are all about. But we need to remember that the Bible is emphatic, and it is explicit, that we are not saved by good works, but rather we have to have faith, and we also need to be baptized and have our sins washed away and live for Christ all the days of our lives. There may be someone here tonight that's outside of Christ. There may be someone that has a burden on your heart or on your mind, and you'd like to get that burden off of there this evening. We can help you with that. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. We can talk with you, whatever your needs are. We're going to sing an invitation song right now. If there's anyone subject to this invitation, won't you come as we stand together and sing?